Amen. Good evening. Let's open up our Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to continue teaching on the triune God. We had shared on pateology is a term that deals with the study and the teaching of the Father. And we had shared previously how one of the most neglected teachings in the body of Christ is the teaching of the Trinity. And the subject that's even more so less taught is the teaching on the Father. And we had been sharing how important it is for us to kind of reprogram our thinking and not just see Jesus as the main subject, the main character of the Bible. How many remember those teachers? To get to the point that we see God as a triune being and realize that the entire Bible is a story about the Trinity, about the triune God. First couple of chapters of the Bible, you have God saying, let us make man in our image. Who's the us? The Father is speaking to the Son and the Spirit. Let us come down, for if they continue to build that temple up to the heavens, we're going to have a problem. Let us come down. And you have us, us, us. And you have in the Old Testament, you have the emphasis and dispensation, and most people say of God. But if you want to be more specific, it's the Father who is dealing with his bride, Israel. So you have, in the Old Testament, you have the Father. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, you have the dispensation of Christ, Jesus Christ. And today, in the book of Acts on to today, you have the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And his main work is to reveal the Son and reveal the Father and to embrace the body of Christ so that we can be one with the Son and the Father. The Father in the Old Testament, God, did not change his nature in the New Testament and today. His dealings, his presentations, his teaching basically in the Old Testament is towards his bride, Israel. He was married to Israel. He brought them to the mount and they got married. They exchanged vows. He called them married. The symbol or the ring of their marriage was the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not for us. We learn principles from the Sabbath. So we have this, I say, catching up to do in the body of Christ. And it must happen. And it's going to be supernaturally done. The message of the triune God, the Trinity, the message of the Father must be taught, because the rapture will occur when the body of Christ is longing not only to see Jesus, who they will be married to, but the Heavenly Father who started all of this and who will perform the marriage. The body of Christ will be raptured, and the Father will return all his program towards Israel, who he's married to. And so we must begin to think this way. When we see Jesus, when we hear about Jesus, we ought to automatically think of the Father and the Spirit. If you think of the Father, you have to always automatically, and you have to train yourself this way. They're one. The Father initiated everything. He's the author. He started everything. Jesus implemented the Father's authorship, what he initiated. And it's the Spirit of God who imparts it to all of us, who makes us a partner with this communion. Now, this is not my subject, but this is something to think about. Yes, the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Christ. But the gospel has a broader perspective to it, and it is this: the Father sent his Son to redeem a bride, to bring them and have this awesome eternal privilege to live within the community of the Trinity. That's the gospel. That's the broader perspective of the good news, that a God who's triune had no need for no one else. They were communion. They were in communion with one another, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. They were enjoying the fellowship of themselves. And the Father, in times past in eternity, says, let's bring more people, humans that we will create, into this fellowship and give them the privilege to commune with us. Isn't that great? His goodness spilled out. He didn't create man because he had a need to fellowship. He was fellowshipping with himself. The Father glorifying the Son and loving the Son. The Son glorifying the Father. The Spirit of God just communion within that fellowship. And we have the privilege to spend all eternity within the fellowship of the community of the Trinity. A deeper revelation of Jesus Christ will ultimately, a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ will ultimately lead to a curiosity or a hunger or fellowship to know the Father. Now look at Matthew 11. Look at verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and have heavy laden, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Amplified reads in verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I openly and joyfully acknowledge your great wisdom, that you have hidden these things, these spiritual truths, from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to the infants, to new believers, to those seeking God's will and purpose. Look at verse 25 again. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to the babes. It is the Father who initiates the knowledge about himself. It's the Father who determines who will receive revelation about himself. He passes that on to Jesus, and Jesus reveals to those who are humble that the Father prompts him to reveal it to. Remember, the Father initiates everything. So it's the Father who's revealing himself. It's the Father who reveals revelation. In Matthew 16, it talks about how Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, bless you that my Father has revealed this to you about me. So it's the Father that reveals. He tells Jesus who to reveal it to. And it's the Spirit of God who actually enlightens. Just stick with me now. Look at 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Now, I want you to see verse 25 through 30 in context. Because some of your Bibles may have it. It's a paragraph. This 25 through 30 is a paragraph. It's a section that goes together. Most people read 28 through 30, and they miss the whole thing of what's being said. They entirely miss it. The subject is the Father is revealing himself. He gives authority to the Son to reveal the Father. Only the Son knows how the Father really thinks, how he really acts. And only the Son knows the Father knows the Son. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest with the knowledge of my Father. I will go real slow. The rest and the peace in the believer's life comes through the knowledge of the Father. The reason many in the body of Christ have no contentment, have no peace, have no joy, and hear me closely, they are only fellowshipping with the Son and not the Father. The only time they think of the Father is when they pray. There is no study to learn about him. There is no desire to get more intimate with him. But as the child of God recognizes his relationship with his Father, it's going to be an element that's not fully there when it comes to your stability in life, your soundness of mind, your peace of mind. The whole context, Jesus says, I thank you, Father, you have allowed me to reveal these things, what is he talking about? These things, the knowledge of his Father. These spiritual truths about who you are, what your nature is. He's seeking worshipers. He's seeking intimate people. He's seeking intimacy with people. And the day will come when the Father is intensely more seeking this intimacy with people in his family. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest with this knowledge and intimacy with my Father. Take my yoke. The word yoke in the Jewish nation meant the yoke of the law, the yoke of Torah, the yoke of teaching that the Torah gives. Jesus says, I'm giving you now another yoke, another teaching, and it's about my Father. There are other things involved, yes, spiritual matters, but the emphasis here is the yoke of the teaching about my Father. That's the reason I came, to reveal the Father. How is he going to reveal? By what he taught and how he acted and how he ministered. I cannot overemphasize the importance of the Father's ministry, of how Jesus came to reveal his Father. How many are with me so far? I'm telling you, this is so important. It'll shift everything in your mind. Take my yoke, take my teaching of wisdom upon you and learn from me about my Father, that we're both, I am gentle and lowly of heart, and he is gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find peace for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Turn to John 7. We shared this, but we have to see it as often as possible. John 7, I'm sorry, go to John 8:26. I wrote the wrong scriptures down. The scriptures I was going to go to were the ones where it says, my teaching is not my own, but it's the teaching of the Father. Oh, it is. Let me see. I was going to the wrong place. 7:16. Well, I won't find it in Matthew, will I? John 7:16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. When Jesus said, I am lowly and gentle, who said it first? Who said it first? The Father. All that Jesus taught, the Father gave him the doctrine. John 8:26, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Go back to Matthew 11, please. Matthew 11:29 says, For I am gentle, lowly of heart. I'm going to make some statements and just listen closely. The triune God is humble within himself, and he continually manifests. This is sharing what Jesus is saying, that I'm gentle and lowly. And why the Father is gentle and lowly. He continually manifests his humility in his relationship within the Trinity. He is continuously loving and self-giving within the relationships within the communion of the Trinity. You notice how I said that basically Jesus, his whole mindset was to honor and glorify the Father. Honor and glorify the Father. Everything he did, he honored and glorified. But the Father's main goal was to honor and glorify the Son. It was always that way. And the Spirit of God, his main focus was to honor the Father, glorify the Father, honor the Son, glorify the Son. It was always about the other one, is what I want you to see. That's the humility within the Trinity. And then that spilled over, and the Father humbled himself to make a creation with the intent of bringing them within the fellowship. He wasn't superior. Nah, y'all stay back. It spilled over with the Son. He's the one who came and humbled himself and took on a body. That's a whole nother subject. Remember, they had no body. You couldn't see them. They were invisible. And the Father said, I've prepared a body for you, just like the creation I made. And Jesus humbled himself and took on a body. Humbled himself and died for us. So this emphasis in Matthew 11, 25 through 30, is teaching us humility by the example of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's the key to you taking this yoke upon you. And we said that yoke, it says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. That yoke is a yoke that's specifically made for you. It wasn't a coincidence that Jesus' main occupation was a carpenter. And as a carpenter, Jewish history has it written down that Jesus was known for his yokes all across the region because they were always perfect. For some reason, they were always perfect. They would bring in the oxen. He would size up the neck. And he would specifically, specially make it for that particular oxen. And as believers, we're into the family. We have this yoke or responsibility to yield to the teachings. That's what the yoke means. And each and every one of us has a different yoke upon our neck, and our yoke is specifically made for you. What does that mean? He knows how to talk to you. He knows exactly what you need in this period of your life. He knows exactly how fast to go with you. I mean, we can go on and on. It's specifically for you. Now, what most Christians do, they see somebody else's yoke and they try to adjust it.
Your yoke is crooked.
No, you straighten up your head. You're the one that was crooked. And so you have this yoke, which is the teaching of Jesus about his Father. I hope y'all getting this because I'm getting excited. There is no competition among them. There's only divine joy in their self-giving love to one another. This is the principle they wanted us to get through marriage. Well, that didn't go over. But the Father is continually honoring and glorifying the Son, the Father. Out of the humility within the Trinity, their goodness spilled out that others may share in their eternal communion. Go to Isaiah 50, please. Telling you, this is why the enemy has fought the teaching on the Father. My desire is that the teaching of the Trinity doesn't remain with a few theologians, but that is taught to the point that it becomes relevant to the whole body of Christ. That's my goal. Jesus didn't do anything or say anything unless he heard his Father say it. That means he had a communion with the Father that was so intimate, so continual every day. And that's what he's desiring of us, this communion with the Father and the communion with the Son through the Spirit that is so intimate. And I want to share a nugget that I learned that really helped me. Isaiah 50. Verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I will not rebel, nor did I turn away. And I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Now I'm going to read in another translation. The Lord God has given me his servant the tongue of a disciple, as one who is taught, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord opens my ear, and I was not rebellious. Now, when it talks about the tongue, it's saying he's given me the mouth to speak and to teach. And he teaches me morning by morning. One of the key ways to hear more clearly from the Lord, and this is totally your decision. Are y'all listening? You check your yoke. But if you listen to some godly music, meditate on a scripture before you go to bed, the Spirit of God will work in your spirit, and when you wake up in the morning, he may speak more to you. It's just a suggestion. Jesus would spend time with the Lord, and I can't help but think, before he went to sleep, we know he did it early in the morning because God, the Father, was speaking to him. It wasn't just him praying. Whenever you see that Jesus went away to pray, don't just think he's out there praying. He's the one. It's a one way. He's listening as much as he's praying. Not all the time, but I'm just saying as a principle. Get the concept of prayer out of your mind that you have to do all the praying in the Spirit, all the praying in English. Prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. Prayer is you sometimes not saying anything, but listening. Right. It took me years to reprogram my thinking on prayer, because I always would hear teaching on how to pray. So they give you all this stuff you should be praying. Then you taught to pray in the Spirit. Soon as you finish, you up and you out. God's like, where'd he go? Where'd she go? Prayer can be you sitting in a room listening to Christian music. Godly. Scriptural. Christian music. Prayer is not just you doing all the talking. And you have to be, it sounds off, but you have to be led by the Spirit of God on your prayer. The reason, listen closely, the reason most Christians don't pray is because when the Spirit of God prompts them to pray, they think they have to do it one way. And they get tired and weary doing it the same way all the time. Some people, you're night people. That's your time to be with the Lord. Don't try to convince other people to be that way. That's their yoke. That's how he deals with them. You have day people and you have night people. You have people in the morning, you see them, they still asleep. That's usually a night person. You have a day person, man, after 9 o'clock, boy, you start seeing them shutting down. Pray, don't ask them to pray now, 10 o'clock. They're so tired. That's their yoke. That's their personality. God deals with them according to their personality. There are sometimes you'll be prompted to just be in a room, quiet by yourself. Go outside in the woods, quiet by yourself. Prayer is not just one way, is what I'm getting at. That's why most Christians don't do it. They get tired of the same thing. I desire for all of us, me first, to get more intimate with the triune God. That's my desire for you. Because your whole Christianity will change, I'm telling you, if you spend more time consciously talking to the Father, the Son, the Spirit of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, right now I thank you that you're teaching us more principles so we can become more intimate with you. I thank you for your creativity when it comes to fellowshipping with you. It's not just one way. You have so much variety in your intimacy with us. Broaden our perspective, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.